Praise the Lord. If you're thankful for the blessings of the Lord, shout amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles. Thank you all for that song today. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 26. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for just your faithfulness to be here tonight. Looking forward to what God has in store. Don't forget, on Wednesday, young people, you have youth choir practice at 6:45. So come prepare to minister in the Wednesday evening service. Don't forget, we also have revival coming up in February 23rd through the 28th with Brother Anthony Lester. Please be in prayer that God will move during our revival. And then the 27th and 28th of that revival will be winter warm-up. And so we're going to be preparing and getting things ready for that. Here we are in Genesis chapter 26, same text as this morning. We're going to look at 3 points here that I didn't preach this morning. And then we're going to spend some time around the altars. But Genesis 26, verse number 12, stand for the reading of the word, please. It says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, 'Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we.' And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" Verse 25, "And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well." Verse 32, this next few verses just talks about how he and Abimelech made a decision to come into a covenant together. But then verse 32, as they get done with that covenant of peace, it says, "It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, 'We have found water.'" Praise the Lord. There's still water in the well. Amen. Still water in the well. You may be seated. This morning we talked about Isaac's promise. God had conferred to him the promise of Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant had been transferred to Isaac. And we know that Isaac had that promise when he was entering into that land of the Philistines in Gerar there. And he was going there because of the problem of the famine. But he also endured in that season the problem with his own fear, an internal battle. But in the midst of it all, God's promise was secure, and every attack the enemy brought against him, Isaac found God was faithful. Can you say amen? Isaac found that God's promise and his word is true. And then we talked about briefly this morning, well, not briefly, I realize I went overtime this morning, so I'll try not to do that again tonight. We talked about God's grace following Isaac. Even after Isaac had failed God, God gave grace to Isaac and continued to bless him and pursue him, praise the Lord, with his goodness and his mercy. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for that. So tonight I want us to look at Isaac's perseverance, his provision, and the provider that he trusted in, all right? So Isaac's perseverance. Isaac continued to move forward in spite of hindrances into the promise and blessings that God had for him. Now we read in 26 in this verses 12 through 19 where I take this point from. You notice how Isaac was blessed. He received 100-fold from what he sowed into the land or what he put forth. God blessed him in verse 12 with 100-fold. And that means that if he was to put a dollar in the offering, God blessed him with the value of $100. Praise the Lord. I thought I'd get more amens. That doesn't mean that God's going to put $100 in his hand. It just meant God was going to reward him in the math there 100 times the value of what he put out. Really, what it means, and if you put it this way, he planted a bushel of seeds and he would reap 100 bushels of the fruit from that seed. God blessed him. His blessings were very evident. He became a man of great stature among the Philistines. He had wealth. He had authority among them. He had much livestock. He had many servants. So people looked at him as a man that was to be held in respect and honor. And the enemy hated Isaac for the blessings that God had given to his life. Now, surely there were wealthy and powerful men that were Philistines. I'm sure there were rich men. There were men who had their own authority among the people there. But Isaac, he was not a Philistine, all right? He was part of God's chosen people. And when he was blessed by the hand of God, they noticed that there was something different about him. There was a glory, in a sense, in Isaac's life that was absent from his enemies. And because of that difference, they envied and hated him. Do you know that the enemy hates you? He despises you. Satan doesn't like you. He doesn't like any of you, not one bit. And why does Satan hate you so much? Well, you remember what Satan wanted when he was an angel and dwelt in heaven. He was in search for glory. He always wanted his own glory. He wanted to rob God of his glory. He wanted to control that glory. He wanted people to lift him up. He wanted to receive the honor that's only due God. He wanted to rob God's glory, but that's never going to happen. And notice what the psalmist said of man in Psalm chapter 8. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" You've crowned him with what? Glory and honor. So when God made man, he settled some glory upon that creation, and the enemy hates it when God's glory begins to fill your life. He despises God, but he can do nothing about God. God's going to be on his throne throughout eternity. He's going to get his glory. He's going to be worshipped. The angels are always going to sing, amen, for eternity. We sung about it a little bit ago. We're going to shout, amen, Hosanna, and holy, 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 and worthy, worthy, worthy to the Son of God throughout all the ages with people who are saved from every nation. And Satan hates that, but he can't do anything about God's glory when it comes to God. So when it's man that God confers or rests his glory upon, Satan desires to destroy that. He wants to destroy man who has been crowned with the glory of the Lord. He has nothing but hatred for us because God's glory, come on, rests upon us. And the Philistine, the enemy's response to Isaac was hatred and envy and jealousy because he had something that they could not get. So they went out, and this is what they did in response. Now, the language here is a little bit confusing. There's one verse that says, after they envied him, that they went and filled the wells. Then we read that after Abraham died, they filled the wells. So maybe they filled some at one point and some later. I don't know, but whatever the reason is or whatever the timeline is, the enemy's the one to blame. They went and filled up the wells that Abraham had dug. Now, some of the, when you get in that moment there, just realize it was an enemy that had done it, all right? The enemy, why did they fill those wells with dirt? Why did they cover those things up, those accesses to water? Because they knew the value of the water. Abraham and Abimelech had made an agreement about 100 years or so before. They decided there would be no animosity between them. And when Abraham died, it seems like the enemy thought they could do whatever they wanted to the next generation. And so they said, you know, we're going to cover up the wells that belong to Abraham. And in Bible times, that was actually an act of war. The enemy was attempting to take away a source of life, a source of revival. So they filled in the wells. Church, I want you to know there are always hindrances to God's work. If you're trying to work for God, expect resistance. If you're trying to preach the gospel, expect resistance. If you're trying to witness to your coworkers, expect resistance. If you're trying to sing in the choir or learn an instrument so you can play at the church, expect resistance. God, our work for the Lord, the enemy always tries to hinder it. And so Isaac, because of his blessings, he dealt with hindrances. One was he was persecuted because of his blessings. The king Abimelech, this is what he did. He forced Isaac out from among the people. He said, you become too great for us. We want you to leave this place. You don't belong with us anymore. We don't want you here. Why? He felt threatened by the blessings that Isaac had received. Perhaps, I believe, Abimelech could have been aware of the wrong in his own life that would make him disqualified from the blessings that Isaac he enjoyed. But regardless of the reason, when God blessed, Isaac experienced persecution at the hands of the enemy. Now, jealousy and envy will cause you to do some crazy things. And just because Isaac was displaced, though, I want you to get this. Just because Isaac was displaced, that did not mean the blessings would stop. Praise the Lord. Isaac, even though he's moving on from this place because of the blessings that God has given to him, it doesn't mean that God's going to have to go looking for Isaac or that Isaac has to send a forwarding address to heaven. It doesn't mean that he has to try to send up some type of a beacon so the Lord will know where he is. God always knows where you are. Praise the Lord. And the blessings, the goodness and mercy continued to follow Isaac all the days of his life. So out there in the fields, in the valley, we're talking about perseverance. Isaac and his servants and his livestock, they settle for a season out there, and they know they're going to need something to sustain them. They know as they get out into this valley of Gerar, they're going to have to find a source of water. So what do? They begin to dig some wells. And notice, Abraham, just as he passed down his faith, just as even he passed down in a negative way his fear, he also passed down some practical information to Isaac. He told Isaac, now, in the valley of Gerar, my son, there's a few wells that me and my servants had digged there when we were going through a battle and going through a season of strife. And this well you'll find Etek over here in Sitna and Rehoboth and Beersheba. You'll find those wells spread out throughout that place. Now, he told Isaac where they were. He told them their names. Praise God. Amen. I'm thankful for people who pass down pertinent, practical, spiritual information. And Isaac, knowing this, he began searching for those wells. And when he gets to the first well, what does he find? He finds that the enemy has filled the well in. Imagine the disappointment that must have come over Isaiah and his servants. Here we are expecting to find water. My father found water. He left a well here. Surely I'm going to find sustenance here. But there he goes. And what does he find? A well that's been completely filled in by the enemy. But church, I want you to know something. You can fill in the well, but you can't stop the source. And as they unearthed those old wells, what did they find? The Bible says, as they unearthed that first well, they got to the bottom of where the enemy had stopped filling in the dirt, and the well began to spring. Glory to God. The well began to spring again. Springing waters came from an old well that the enemy had tried to stop. Now, this happened four times. Three times because of resistance, and the fourth time was just out of necessity. But notice how Isaac, in every hindrance, in every stop, he persevered to find water in the well. You cannot have victory without trust and perseverance. He had to trust in the word of his father, and he had to persevere through the hindrance. You can trust in the word of your father. The enemy's going to resist it, but if you'll persevere in faith, you will find water in the well. Amen. He knew that water was necessary to surviving and necessary to thriving, and he knew that water was available. He was digging, though, for more than just H2O, you know? He was digging for more than just water. He was digging for life, all right? Without water, they weren't going to survive. Without water, his herds were going to start dying. His servants were going to start dying. His wife would die. Without water, there would be no more life. So he wasn't just digging to find water. He was digging to survive. He was digging for provision that had been promised. Glory to God. Church, I want you to know, God makes us promises, and he keeps his promises, but sometimes after he makes the promises, he expects us to do a little digging. He expects us to do a little preparation. He expects us to do a little praying and a little studying and a little work to get to the promise. Praise the Lord. He was digging for the promise. And it's in the East, they often called water, this is what they referred to water as in the East, the gift of God. Praise the Lord. So he was digging for the gift of the Lord. And church, notice Isaac's perseverance. Perseverance is always equal to the value that you put upon your cause. If you don't think it's worth it, you won't persevere through it. But if the reason is bigger than the problem, you'll keep moving forward no matter what the cost. Now, I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, it's not the amount of dog in the fight, it's the amount of fight in the dog. Anybody ever heard that? I wouldn't go up to Aaron and pick a fight. There's a lot of fight in me, but that guy over there, he could take me 1,000 times out of 1,000. I'll tell you that. But if you got a group of people together, or you got... Or maybe not that. I shouldn't explain it that way. But if you start going through a struggle, going through a battle, and you think, man, I'm too small for this problem, you need to remember who you are in Christ. You need to remember who you are in Jesus. And as the young people say, Isaac in this story, he was a dog. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, none of y'all get that. Amen. But Isaac had a lot of fight in him. He was going to persevere through it all. He persevered through persecution. He persevered through his own failures. He persevered through every hindrance. He persevered when he was discouraged. I mean, you think about the discouragement that weighed upon him. Here's one well we have unearthed. Now all of a sudden the enemy lays claims. So to keep peace, he moves on to the next well. And that enemy comes again and lays claim. He finally finds a third well. Imagine the discouragement every time. He sees the well filled up. But what does he do? He perseveres through it all, even through weariness and the mundane of having to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. He persevered knowing that the promise of the Lord was going to come eventually. I know sometimes, oh Lord help me, it gets hard to keep preaching and teaching and singing and worshiping. You get tired and weary and you think, I'm just going through the emotions, but if you'll listen to me for a moment, you keep on fighting, you keep on worshiping, you keep on praying, you keep on preaching, you keep on teaching, because the well is going to spring forth. He could have given up. Listen, the first hindrance, he could have told Abimelech, I like it here. I know you don't want my blessings. I know you don't want to see what God has done in my life. So Abimelech, if you'll let me stay here, I'll stop sowing as much seed. I'll stop letting God bless me. I'll just settle for what God's given me right here in this moment. He could have settled for less than the best that God had for him. But Isaac, he had to realize. He realized, I'm not made to dwell in the land of the Philistines. I'm made for more than this. You know, the enemy would love for you to settle into a place that you're in right now and never move forward in your spiritual walk with Christ. He would love for you to say, you know, I think I've come far enough. I think this is as much, I've reached the max of the blessings I want to receive. I'm good, God. You can stop here. I'll stop growing where I'm at. I'll just kind of settle into my pew and rest here and stay here a little while and not do anything to grow and grow closer to the Lord or to be more anointed or anything like that. See, you can settle, but you know what's going to happen if you settle? You begin to take less and less and less and less than the best that God has from you or for you. Church, you were made for more. Isaac's problem was making room for a bigger blessing. Sometimes we think, man, if I move forward, the problem is just going to keep growing. No, your problem is trying to grow you. Or I should say, God's trying to grow you through your problem. And his perseverance resulted in provision. Isaac's provision. God kept his promise to Isaac and brought living waters from existent wells. Amen. They found, the Bible says, springing waters at Esek. Then they found springing waters at Sitnah. Then they found springing waters at Rehoboth. And they found living waters or springing waters again at Beersheba. Everywhere Isaac dug, he found water. Praise the Lord. God provided water. He was digging wells that the enemy had filled in. He was trying his best to fight against the hindrances the enemy brought against him. The enemy discovered, though, that day they could fill in the wells. They could try to hide the access points, but they could not stop the water from flowing. Amen. They could not stop the source of the supply. See, God had promised Isaac presence, provision, and protection. Water was definitely a part of that supply. And water, to those people, it was cleansing. It was purifying. It was necessary to life. It was necessary to growth, to sustaining, and to refreshing. Water, springing water, living water is what they found. Now let's talk about spiritually here. That is a gift from God. Praise the Lord. Living water to a thirsting soul. Do I have any people in here today that you were thirsty, but you found the source of living water? You were thirsty, your soul was thirsty, and you were looking for the sustenance. You were looking for what satisfied every longing in your heart. And somebody said, let me tell you about Jesus. Amen. And Jesus came by and turned it all. Come on now. He turned it all around. Amen. And he satisfied the longing in your soul. He is the source of living water. Listen to these promises from the Old Testament in Isaiah 44. He said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Amen. And not just I will give him a drink, but I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessings upon thy offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the courses of water. Then in Zechariah, he said, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. I'm glad I found that source of water that gave me life. I'm glad I found that source of living waters. You know what he said in John 4 to the woman at the well? He said, if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you'd ask of me for living water and I would give it to you. And she said, oh, from whence do you have that living water? And what took place in her life? God began to speak to her and speak life into her. And what did she do? She went and found other people and brought them to Jesus. Amen. That's a well of living water. Amen. That's a provision that only comes, amen, from the source. He offered living waters to the woman. Then Jesus said in the book of John, chapter number 7, he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Living waters, he said, he spake it of the Spirit. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many of you know we need the Holy Ghost? We need the Holy Spirit. He's necessary for our revival, for our survival. Amen. He's necessary for our ability to thrive. Notice what Jesus said there in John 7. He said, he that believes, then out of his belly or spirit shall flow rivers of living water. When Isaac and his men opened the wells, this is what they found. Living waters. Hallelujah. So the Old Testament, and I know it really happened, but the Bible tells us that those stories in the Old Testament are allegories for us today. Isaac dug wells that had previously been dug by his father in a previous generation. He was looking for water and he found living water. Hallelujah. The enemy tried to stop the next generation from having access to that springing water, but they dug in and found it. Hallelujah. Church, I want you to know the enemy. He might try to destroy Pentecost and the activity of the Spirit in your life, but just look back one generation ago and they had it, and we can have it too. I said they had it, and we can have it too. The enemy tries to dissuade and persuade us to lay aside the fulfillment of the Spirit. Oh, but God made that promise. If you believe on my Son, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living waters are waters that are alive. They flow without restraint. There is abundant supply. There is provision of life. I'm not just talking about life in the physical. I'm talking true life. When I found Jesus, I truly started living. When I found Jesus, I knew what true life really was. And not just true life in that sense of forgiveness of sin, and we start on our new life, but throughout our walk with Christ. We have a fresh experience. Every time I go back to the well, it still has water flowing. Amen. Every time I go back to the well, there's still enough water there to gain a fresh supply. Amen. It talks about power, that living water, that power. Amen. And before we move forward, I need to make mention of the fourth well. Amen. Isaac, he's dug three wells. He finds Rehoboth, and he said, God's made room for us, and we'll be fruitful here where we're at. But then he goes on to Beersheba. Amen. He goes on to Beersheba. He could have stayed at Rehoboth, but something in him kept making him move forward. Church, God wants you to keep growing. Come on now. God wants you to grow continually. He doesn't want you to grow stagnant. He wants you to grow in power and grow in might and grow in anointing. And so Isaac continued to go on, and he went to Beersheba. Now I want to talk about Isaac's provider, and these two, the points of provision and provider are going to kind of overlap here, so just bear with me. But Isaac's provider was the same as Abraham's provider. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. I think we could stop right there. I might have to take a spell. Isaac's provider was the same as his father Abraham's provider. He was the same God. He didn't have to look for a new God. He didn't have to go find a new piece of wood and carve him a new idol. Amen. He didn't have to go searching for a new truth or a new word. The same God, Jehovah, that spoke to Abraham and made him a promise was the same God that came by and spoke to Isaac the promise. It was the same provider. So, I think if Isaac's provider and Abraham's provider was the same, I venture to say your provider and my provider, Jehovah Jireh, hallelujah, he still is the same provider as he always was. But this is important here. This is important. Isaac gets to the wells, and the wells have been filled in. That's the word I'm looking for. He has to come to these wells. He knows Abraham's told him of the wells and the supply in the well. But Isaac has to get it for himself. I don't think you know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm thankful for heritage. I'm thankful my parents love the Lord. I'm thankful for my wife's parents. They love the Lord. Raised us both in the house of the Lord. But you have to get it for yourself. You can't make it to heaven because granny and grandpa were Christians. You can't make it in a powerful way. Amen. You can't expect to be an anointed preacher because your daddy or somebody you knew was an anointed preacher. You've got to get it for yourself. And that's what Isaac learned in that moment. He knew the provider, amen, and he knew who he was. He knew where the wells were, but he had to get it for himself. You know, church, I want you to know something. This is important. You and I, we can know the provider. Woo! We can know who he is. We can know him. And he wants us to know him. I want you to notice there were many wells. He dug four wells. And this might seem a little scattered right here, but there's just a few little points I just had to make. There were many wells, four wells, if you count them, and he may have dug more. But I believe even though he dug four different wells, there was one source. Amen. There was one source. His name is Jesus. And in verse 32, that fourth and and final well that they dig in Beersheba, this is what happens. They dig the well, and it doesn't tell us that they find water instantly. They move on forward. Isaac builds an altar, and they dwell there for a little while. He makes a league with Abimelech, and then after he makes that connection with Abimelech, his servants come to him and say, hey, guess what? Here in Beersheba, we have found water again. Praise the Lord. Now, this is important. That is the same place where Abraham in Genesis 21, he found water at Beersheba. He found water there. Why is that important? Why is that more important than the others? Well, at Beersheba, when he found water, Abraham built a grove. What a grove was an outdoor temple. It was an open air place where they would worship Jehovah, pre-existing the tabernacle and the temple that was built in Jerusalem. It was a place Abraham established so he could worship the Lord. And Isaac comes back to that same place decades later. And you know what he does? He builds his own altar there, and he finds a provider there. The provider church, he's timeless. Amen. From one generation to the next, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But not just timeless. The provider is limitless. The supply of water didn't run out in that 100 years between Abraham and Isaac at Beersheba. The water kept flowing. Woo! And this provider, he has everything we need and more. And I want you to know, he is our provider. And when we got access to that provider, that source of water, there's a promise. Water's going to flow. He said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. You know what that means? There's nothing, amen, that the enemy can do to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. Why? You can grieve the Spirit and hinder, but the enemy can't hinder the Spirit from working in your life and working through your life. How's that possible? Because the source cannot be hindered. See, when we find the provider, we find life. We find power. We find purpose. When we find his Spirit. This he spake concerning the Spirit, living waters, which they that believed on him should receive. The well of that promise still flows, church. It still does. When we get to the provider, we find salvation, we find conversion, we find new life and born-again experience in Christ. We also find that he desires for the Holy Ghost to work in us, and he desires for the Holy Ghost to work through us. In church, we become an extension of that supply. We become a source of life as he was a source of life to us. You know, the Spirit can bring life to wherever you are. The water of the Spirit is not just to flow into us, it's to flow through us and bring life to those around us. Now, when you become a believer, oh, Lord help me, the water is there, okay? I hope you're getting that. The water is there. The flowing is there. Your thirst has been satisfied, and now you're offering to take others to the provider, just like the woman at the well. You found Jesus, your source, that living water, and there is something happening in your life. And those waters begin to flow out of you. You begin to make an impact and a difference, touching people for the gospel and bringing them to Christ and showing them the truth. I love the beautiful picture in Ezekiel chapter 47, that river flowing out of the temple. It starts in Christ, flows out, and wherever the water touches, there is life. There is an abundance of living water at the well, praise God, but there's also a deeper experience at the well. So when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit is working in you. You have the Holy Ghost, all right? The Holy Ghost begins to work through you. He can anoint you and use you. When you become a believer, now I grew up in church, and I got to know the terminology, Lord help me, and what it meant. Now when you got saved, everybody knows what that means. You become a Christian, born again, and you are saved. And now growing up in church, to me, the next step was you got to get the Holy Ghost, right? That's what we talked about. You got to get the Holy Ghost. You leave church and your friends say, did you get the Holy Ghost tonight? And you say, no, I didn't get the Holy Ghost tonight. And why? I didn't speak in tongues. I guess I didn't get the Holy Ghost tonight. Do you have the Holy Ghost? What we ask people, listen, church, Jesus breathed on the disciples and he said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And that happened before Acts chapter 2. So even before the Spirit was poured out, Lord, help me. I hope you're not falling out with me. Even before the Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, the disciples had the Holy Ghost. All right, the Holy Ghost was there. The Holy Ghost was active in their lives. But there was more to be had. Can I hear an amen? There was more to be had. See, if you want to say that the disciples, no, there's no way that God moved on them before Acts. Yes, he did. Before Acts chapter 2, they had been breathed upon and received the Spirit. Apollos, he had a powerful ministry before he knew anything about the Holy Ghost. So when you get saved, you don't need to stop. Stop waiting for the moment of Acts chapter 2 before you work for the Lord. And don't hinder people who work for the Lord. Amen. I need to hide somewhere. Amen. The terminology kind of twisted some doctrine. You can still operate in the power of the Spirit prior to being filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues. All right? I believe that. Jesus promises, though, that there is an overflowing, springing forth of living waters upon salvation, but to what extent it may flow. He said, this is what he said, after he had breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, what did he say? He said, now go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, those disciples, could they have done a work for God had they just went on about their business? Well, they heard the command to go to Jerusalem and wait. So I'm not sure exactly to what extent their ministry would have been powerful. But they needed something more. They needed another experience. They needed to be filled completely with the power of the Spirit. And the initial physical evidence of that was speaking in tongues. But even that was just the initial. There was more evidence to be had following that initial evidence. So why am I telling you that? I'm telling you, don't just seek to speak in tongues. Seek to be filled with the power of the Spirit. Because there's more to it than just that. Because if we're not careful, we'll think, oh, I've spoken in tongues. That's enough for me. I did it once. So that means I must be filled and I'm filled for the rest of my life. No, church. You got to keep going back to the well and getting another experience and a refreshing experience. It's good to speak in tongues, don't get me wrong, but God wants to use you in more than just the initial. Hallelujah. He wants you to be able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. He wants you to be able to speak with authority and cast out the demonic. He wants you to be able to operate in the gifts of tongues and interpretation. He wants you to have prophecies. Amen. He wants you to have a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. And the well still flows. Amen. Our music could come tonight and stand. Praise the Lord. He's still pouring out his Spirit. He's still pouring out his Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's still pouring out his Spirit on thirsty souls. He's still pouring out his Spirit on thirsty souls. I want more. How about you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, it's good to have Pentecost on the name. It's good. Union Pentecostal Church, I love it. You got to have a Pentecostal experience in your life. Amen. You got to have that fresh Pentecostal experience. And he promised he would pour his Spirit on thirsty souls. And this is what I love. Isaac had to go and redig some wells that Abraham had opened up. And he found the same source of water. He found the same source of supply, was still keeping his promise. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm thankful for the experience of people. 100 years this church has been in existence. You think they had a lot of Pentecostal services? Some of you have been here not the whole time, but you've been here a long time, and you've experienced that overflowing living water in your life. I want to appeal to your heart again. Can we go back to the well? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we go back to the well? Young people, your parents that have gotten filled with the Spirit, it's powerful. And you know it's powerful. But do you know it's for you? It is. The Holy Ghost is for you. Holy Ghost is for all of you. But you got to get it for yourself. Don't dig for the tongues. Dig for the power. Woo! And that evidence will flow. Trust me, it will. The evidence will come. Don't worry. Don't worry how it'll sound. Don't worry how it'll be. You just open your heart. Amen. And you just dig by worshiping. You dig by asking the Lord. You begin to unearth that well. Hallelujah. Woo! Around this altar. How many times? I don't know how many times I felt the Lord around this altar and had to unearth some things in here. And every time, the Spirit of the Lord has been the same. And He's still the same. That Spirit that makes Sister Debbie want to shout and makes Brother Steve want to cry. Amen. That same Spirit is working even now in this place. Even now in this service. And if you'll just open your heart and let the Lord do the work that only He can do, it might just be the night that He fills you with the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the power. Amen. And all of a sudden something changes. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want that, if you're thirsty, come. He said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon those that are thirsty. If you're thirsty, come. Begin to cry out to the Lord. Lord, I'm thirsty for that water. Hallelujah. I'm thirsty, Lord, for that Spirit, that living water, that overflowing, those living waters. I'm thirsty, Lord, for that next experience of power, of the Spirit indwelling my life. I'm thirsty for the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
My Prince of Peace, and I will. In me, oh, there is. it's deep down inside of me. For the power of your Spirit to flow over me.
Lord, I hunger and I thirst for a touch of God. Let me experience a true revival today. Oh, breathe on me now, oh, breath of God. Pour your power upon me, I pray.
Oh, Lord, I want the power of your Spirit to flow over me. Refreshing, refilling, reviving me. There is a hunger, and it's deep down inside of me, for the power of your Spirit to flow over me. Lord, I want the power of your Spirit to flow over me. Oh, refreshing, refilling, reviving me. There is a hunger, and it's deep down inside of me, for the power of your Spirit to flow over me.
Lord, I hunger and I thirst for a touch of God. Let me experience a true revival today. Breathe on me now, oh.
Upon me, I pray. Oh Lord, I want the power of your Spirit to flow over me. Refreshing, refilling, reviving me. There is a hunger, and it's deep down inside of me, for the power of your Spirit to flow over me. Lord, I want the power of your Spirit to flow over me. Refreshing, refilling, reviving me. There is a hunger, and it's deep down inside of me, for the power of your Spirit to flow over.